Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I, spiritual leader of the world's Orthodox communities, met with Pope Benedict here in the Vatican on Thursday. The two leaders last met in Naples last October during an international interfaith encounter sponsored by the St. Egidio community. And in 2006, Pope Benedict travelled to the Patriarch's headquarters in Istanbul, formerly the great Byzantine city of Constantinople. On Thursday afternoon, the Patriarch returned to Rome's Pontifical Oriental Institute, where he studied for a doctorate in canon law for 5 years during the 1960s. The Jesuit-run institute, built around an ancient courtyard in the shadow of the Basilica of St. Mary Major, is marking the 90th anniversary of its foundation by Pope Benedict XV in 1917. Among the professors on hand to welcome the Orthodox leader back to his alma mater was Jesuit Father Edward Ferrugia, Dean of the Faculty of Eastern Ecclesial Sciences. I caught up with Father Edward just before the Patriarch arrived in Rome to find out more about the mission and the history of this unique institution.
Well, of course, in 1917 there was war, a world war. And it took courage for a pope to found an institute to study other churches, exactly amid so much ruin. However, he did it, and it must be reckoned as one of his greatest things, that he founded both the congregation of the Eastern Church, at the time it was put in the singular, and also the Oriental Institute. They were founded in the same year, within a few months of each other. The first one was founded, the congregation for the Eastern Church was founded on the 1st of May 1917, and the Institute, the Pontifical Institute of Oriental Studies, generally known as the Orientale here in Rome, was founded on the 15th of October 1917. Therefore, revolution in Russia, the Pope's great efforts for peace, for which also he has received acknowledgement. There's a monument to him in Istanbul. But even in Santa Maria Maggiore, there is a Madonna which recalls his peace efforts, etc., a statue of Our Lady. Therefore, you know, these are the very dramatic times in which he's moving. However, he had been secretary to the Secretary of State, Mary Del Valle. And therefore, that brings us to the times of Pope Leo XIII. And he knew from within that there was much movement. What shall we do with millions of Christians, many of whom were Catholics, in the Ottoman Empire, whose end was foreseeable? And therefore, when there was the Eucharistic Congress in Jerusalem in 1893, the Eastern Patriarchs complained to the papal legate that they were always being treated like second-rate citizens in the church, and that great pope, who was Leo XIII, called for the following year a conference of these patriarchs, and as a result, the Magna Carta of the Easterners was written with the perspectives of the time, but nonetheless it's a very great document, Orientalium Dignitas, the dignity of the Eastern churches. And now it took some time before the ideas which were evident at the time reached boiling point, if you like, with Benedict XV. But since Benedict XV knew everything from within, and he was, in my opinion, a great pope, although unfortunately underestimated, he was in a position to move. And even he himself was at the beginning at a loss what to do with this new institution, because there were so many criticisms. It looked like a white elephant. For decades, he could put all the students of the institute in one big hall. He nonetheless persisted, and nowadays we can look back with gratitude to God Almighty that this little seed is now a big cedar of Lebanon. We have a big cedar of Lebanon in our garden. I think you must have seen it as we were going through it.
As you say, there's been enormous growth over these 90 years. It's now an extremely important centre, isn't it, for the history, the study of everything to do with the Eastern churches. Tell us a bit about its importance, its influence today.
Well, first of all, I want to make a distinction I hinted at the beginning. Here we have two faculties. Initially, there was only one, however. We have the faculty of Eastern Ecclesial Sciences, and that's the faculty of which I'm dean, and it is the bigger faculty. And then there is the faculty of canon law. But even the faculty of canon law has grown enormously by leaps and bounds. When the patriarch, Bartholomew, was a student here, the student population of the canon law department never exceeded 15. I think it was less, just short of 15. Whereas now they are more than 100. And I see, too, as a dean, there is so much demand. I mean, if we had a couple of more professors, and Providence apparently is providing us with some now, we seem to be moving towards an Eastern university, which would be a real great thing for the East. For all they have done for the Catholic Church, they are a part of the Catholic Church, but also for all Easterners. This is the home of all Easterners. Benedict XV, in his greatness, says it right from the start in his foundational chart. This is open to Orthodox and Catholics and anybody who has the requisites. And so it has been, and we have had some very remarkable Eastern Orthodox here among us, and we are very, very proud of them. And they consider this to be their home. They come here frequently to study. We have a great library, a gem. We owe that to Pius XI. He had been a librarian of the Ambrosiana in Milan, and so he knew what a library is and what a difference it makes. And this is certainly, to say the least, one of the very best Eastern libraries taken as a whole that you can find in the world. Here, the canon law faculty produced, through the good services of the secretary of the Commission for the Revision of the Canon Law, Eastern Canon Law, Father Ivan Žužek, who died about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I believe, they managed to give the church, help the church, to give the world its first corpus of canon law in one volume, if you like it, everything put together, so that now we have two codexes. We have the Latin and the Eastern, and this the Eastern for the first time. And that is a great achievement, mainly due to this faculty of canon law. And we see now that there are people here coming to us for historical subjects, for example, people who haven't studied theology but are willing to bear up, you will excuse me that I use that expression, with so much theology, because they have discovered something vital about the East, Christian East, and they feel it has to be published, and it has to be published here, to be studied here. So as I say, I feel there is so much demand, we are moving towards becoming the first Eastern Catholic university, the first pontifical university for the East, open to all on an equal basis, whether Orthodox or Catholics or Westerners. We have also among our students Lutherans, Presbyterians, occasionally even non-Christians, you know, Muslims who might be interested, etc. Therefore, I see this immense growth. We started with being about 40, I believe, if we were at the beginning, we were something like that. Now we are every year roughly 350 students. And we would be without a doubt more if we had better premises and more professors. The professors, even Jesuit professors, seem up and coming. The premises, you know, one of the greatest blessings we had this year, the Pope Benedict XVI graciously received us, and he spoke according to our hearts. He said, I couldn't believe it that he used the words, I engage myself to help you, to give you better premises. That is great. At least, you know, we are very happy to be here, but we have too many students and we don't know how to respond to this cause. Therefore, that's why we organized a symposium from Benedict to Benedict, from Pope Benedict XV, the great pope who founded us, to Pope Benedict XVI, who with an equally great vision is giving this magnificent support to the Christian East on an equal basis. Here the popes have been ecumenical all along.
Pope Benedict XVI, of course, has placed great priority on ecumenism within his pontificate. And you must play an important role here too, I would imagine, in furthering understanding and perhaps in some small way reconciliation between the East and Western churches.
Well, of course, as was the custom when the Institute was founded, any professor, as a matter of fact, felt somehow obliged to do some apologetics for his church, kind of to defend his church. I mean, so did everybody, not only Catholics. Naturally, with the changes brought about by Vatican II, the Jesuits here also became greatly involved in ecumenism. I can mention Father John Long, who dedicated most of his life to ecumenism. I can mention Father Kolvenbach, who was the former general of the Jesuits, and who was rector of the Oriental Institute for 2 years. There are quite a number of people who are involved very intensely in ecumenism. But again, I would say the best thing we can do for ecumenism is to study, as the Church wishes us to do. To destroy preconceptions, there's nothing like a good knowledge of history, and that you put things together without any unnecessary emotions, let's say, you know, very balanced, and usually that helps more than anything else.
Finally, we're marking this anniversary with a visit from one of your most illustrious students. Patriarch Bartholomew is coming from Turkey, from Istanbul, to give a lecture here, isn't he? Tell us about the significance of this for you, for your students.
Well, of course, we are immensely proud to have had the present ecumenical patriarch as our student. And he's certainly one of our most famous, if not our most famous, alumnus. And I think for us, it's a shot in the arm too, that such an important figure, who is the first primate of the Orthodox East, especially of the community of Constantinople, he has, let's say, moral authority as a figure who represents something, who represents a big history, a big church, etc. So for us, it's a huge honor. Then I think it's also significant because it happens at this time, at this particular moment, when dialogue between the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox churches who recognize themselves in this Constantinopolitan community is moving ahead. So we think that is very providential. And I must say how moved he was when I had to carry the invitation, and how moved he was, and I'm very much looking forward to meeting him again here, and for us it cannot but be a blessing.
And my thanks there to Jesuit Father Edward Farrugia, Dean of the Faculty of Eastern Ecclesial Sciences at the Pontifical Oriental Institute.